All right, good evening. Hope you're all doing well today. We are learning Maseches Bava Metzia Daf Lamed Gimel. We're starting five lines from the bottom of Lamed Beis, Med Beis at the words Tashma. And today we're just going to finish the Perek. We are a little snug on time for Mariv, it's not a short Gemara, so that's an appropriate stopping point. I could have learned a few more lines, but it just would have left us not starting at a fresh start, which I always like fresh starts. We're in the middle of discussing whether or not Tzar Balei Chaim is a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan. And the Gemara has brought many proofs in each direction. We're still not sure. And the Gemara says on Lamed Beis, Med Beis, five lines on the bottom, as follows, Toshma. Let's say that you're my ohev, and for you, Lifrok, my job is to help you unpack what is on your samor. The sone liton. But my enemy, the other guy, not you, because none of you are my enemies, the sone, him, I have the opportunity to load up his animal. So we have these various factors, right? It's the factor of ohe versus sone and poreg versus towing. So where would my obligation lie? Am I better off helping the person whom I love to unload their animal? Or am I better off working with the person whom I hate to load up their animal? Says the Gemara, mitzvah bisone, halacha lemaisa, we should pick the toein, because kedei lachofes yitzro. Because it's good for a person to do things that are difficult, that pushes against their yetzer hara. Says the Gemara, this is a beautiful raya for one possibility within Tzar Ba'alei Chaim. V'isal kedai tach Tzar Ba'alei Chaim de'oraisa. If you want to say that Tzar Ba'alei Chaim is a din de'oraisa, so then ha, the ohev, is adifle. Remember that the case of the ohev was that his animal was laden with packages. If his animal is laden with packages, so then you should take them off. If you don't take them off, it should be Tzar Ba'alei Chaim. So because the Braisa says that if the ohev is lifrok and the sone is liton, and because the Braisa paskins that we have to work with the sone, so therefore that shows us that Ba'alei Chaim, that there's no Tzar Ba'alei Chaim d'oraisa. Says the Gemara, that's not true. Afilu hachi, we could even say that it still is de'oraisa. Kedei lachufes yitzro adif. This is an extremely powerful Havamina. The Gemara wants to say that we have two things on the scale. On the one side is Tzar Ba'alei Chaim, which is a din d'oraisa, and on the other side is ignoring Tzar Ba'alei Chaim in order to push against your Yetzer Hara. And according to this possibility within the Gemara, there is a halachic possibility that it's better to fight your Yetzer Hara than it is to do the mitzvah saseh shel Torah of Prika. That's crazy to me. It's like a really...
Tikkun midos
against the din d'oraisa of prika. I find that to be jarring. It doesn't mean that we paskin this way. All the Bryce is saying is that it's possible that this is how we understand the this is how we understand the Bryce. That's what the Gemara is suggesting. Still a very big chiddush. Let's continue. Three lines from the bottom. Toshma sone sha'amru. When the Torah says chamor sona'acha roveitz tachas maso, right, the pasuk that speaks about prika, and it says that the chamor of your enemy, who's the enemy? It says the Gemara chamor sona'acha. When it says sone sha'amru, that's sone Yisrael. That's talking about you, God forbid, hating another Jew. Below sone oved kochavim, and the pasuk is not talking about an oved kochavim. Says the Gemara, that makes no sense if you say Tzar Ba'alei Chaim is a din d'oraisa, because who cares who the owner is? If it's a din in Tzar Ba'alei Chaim, then we should say that you should help the animal that needs help, irrelevant of who the owner is. So therefore, Iamris Tzar Ba'alei Chaim d'oraisa, Mali Sone Yisrael, Umali Sone Ovi Kochavim. Says the Gemara, we therefore see a raya that it is, that Tzar Ba'alei Chaim is not a din d'oraisa. Says the Gemara, that's not true. Misavres a shone de krokoi. When the Braisa says a sone, excuse me. When the Braisa says that there's a sone, do you think that it's talking about the pasuk of chamor sona acha roveitz tachas masa'o? No. A sone de masnisen koi. It's only going on the Braisa of ohiv livrok vit sone liton. It's not talking about the pasuk when it says sone in this case. It's talking about the Braisa. And therefore, we are able to understand what the Gemara means when it says, not a Yisrael, but an Akum. Totally different scenario, not the Psukim. Asone demas nisen koi. That brings us to our third argument for the day, the last two words on the page. The Gemara says, based on the Pasuk says, Rovates, that the animal is crouching. When do we say that there's a status of the animal being in a place of suffering, that it's crouching from the weight? Well, it has to be that it's only crouching from the weight. Velo ravson, but not an animal, says Rashi at the top of the page. Velo ravson harugil bekach. Some people are couch potatoes. Some animals like to lie down. If an animal likes to lie down when it has its packages on, not because it isn't strong enough to hold the packages, it just likes lying down. That doesn't trigger the din of prika. That doesn't trigger the din of chamor sonacha rovetz tachas maso. And as well, top of lamed gimel amud aleph, rovetz velo omed. An animal has to be in such crushing pain of the weight that it's also velo omed. The animal can't even stand up. And then when the pasuk says tachas maso velo meforak, it means that the animal can't have been removed of all of its packages. And tachas maso masui shiyacho la'amod ba. And it has to be that it's the appropriate amount of weight, but it's not overpacked. Then says the Gemara, based on this brisa, which speaks about rovetz and tachas maso, on the third line of lamed gimel amud aleph, v'i amr tzar ba'alei chayim de'oraisa. If you want to say that tzar ba'alei chayim is in fact a din de'oraisa, mali rovetz umali ravtzon umali omid. Who cares what status the animal is in? If he has packages on his back, it's harder for the animal than if he wouldn't have packages on his back. So there should always be a din of Tzar Ba'alei Chaim. So therefore, it must be that Tzar Ba'alei Chaim is Derabbanan. You can see a lot of flip-flopping here. It's not so simple to learn this Gemara in halachic ways. It's quite difficult because we don't exactly know what it means. So says the Gemara, Hamani. No, that's not a real challenge. This brisa is not problematic. This brisa is Rabbi Yossi Haglili, the Amar Tzar Ba'alei Chaim, Derabbanan. You're right. This brisa only holds like Rabbi Yossi Haglili that it's Derabbanan. But we still don't know the shita of the Rabbanan who might actually hold that Tzar Ba'alei Chaim is Derabbanan. And Hachanami Mistabra. It's logical to assume that this brisa is like the shita of Rabbi Yossi Haglili. Because what does the brisa say? This is a quote from the top line of the page. The second line really. Tachas Masa'o. We said that when the pasuk says Tachas Masa'o, we're talking about Masa'ui Shiyocho La'amod Ba. We're talking about an animal that's carrying an appropriate weight for its body. So we said yesterday, let's assume an animal can carry 250, but this animal has been packed with 300 pounds. Says the Gemara, man shamas le de isle hai swara. Who would hold of this? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi Haglili would hold of this swara. As we saw yesterday, that he was the one who held this idea that if an animal was overpacked and overladen, then there is no din of prika. Shmamina, that this whole brisa at the top of the page is like Rabbi Yossi Haglili. Says the Gemara, 8 lines down on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, that's not true. Umi Matzif Mukmas La Rabbi Yossi Haglili. Can you really say that this brisa is like Rabbi Yossi Haglili? After all, Baktani Seifa. There's a part of the brisa, which is the Seifa, which does not work according to Rabbi Yossi Haglili. Because we had said, and this was a little cryptic when we read it, Tachas Masa'o Velo Meforak, that an animal has to be under its packages and it can't be emptied. Milo Meforak. Ilema Lo Meforak Klal. If you want to say that you don't have to help at all, Haksiva came to Kimimo, you of course have to help. Elapshita, what must therefore be pshat in the Gemara when it says Tachas Masa'o Velo Meforak? What it means is Elapshita Lo Meforak Bechinam. You don't have to do prika for free. Elabishar, you're allowed to charge. And as we saw yesterday as well, Man Shamas Le Isle Haisvara, who holds of this shita, this distinction between needing to pay for prika when you're the helper, that shita was quoted yesterday in two brisas by the Rabbanan. And therefore, this brisa at the top of the page, you wanted to say that it's Rabbi Yossi Haglili, but it's very difficult to say that when the only way to understand the third phrase of the brisa, which says, Tachas Masav Lo Meforak, that is only according to the Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, don't worry. La'olam, and we're a quarter of the way down, La'olam Rabbi Yossi Haglili. Really, the brisa that starts at the very top of the page with the word rovetz is all Rabbi Yossi Haglili. However, uvete'ina, when it comes to te'ina, when it comes to loading things onto an animal, savar lo kirabbanan, and that is why it is not a problem. Namely, the brisa itself is all Rabbi Yossi Haglili, but when it comes to te'ina, they don't argue. They agree with the Rabbanan. And Tanu Rabbanan, here the Gemara is going to teach us a fascinating halacha about how far away does something need to be for me to then become obligated in the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. Let's say I have a microscope, and the microscope takes me visually to the moon. I can see that there's something on the moon, and I see an Aveda. Am I obligated to go to the moon? Let's say I have binoculars and I can see out 500 feet and I see a lost item. Does that make me obligated in Hashavas Aveda? Let's say it's through the glass, it's outdoors and I'm indoors. All of the possible variations on the theme. How do we determine the distance at which I will be obligated to have the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda? So says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Kitir e. It has to be when you see it. Maybe we should assume that even if the item is very far, you'll still have the mitzvah of Hashava Saveda. Tamalomar kisifka, no, you have to bump into it. I ikisifka yachol pkiya mamish. Maybe you actually have to touch it to make it a din of Hashava Saveda. Tamalomar kisira. Two parts of the psukim are playing off of each other. And then the Gemara says, to try to thread the needle between these two parts of the psukim. Ve'ezohi re'iya sheyesh ba'pigia. What type of re'iya, of vision, is similar to pigia? Meaning, how close do you have to be to the item where you can see it, where you can touch it? So says the Gemara, shi'aru chachamim, echad misheva u'mechza b'mil. One, 7/2 of a meal. This is not a simple number. So when you look in the Rishonim, it ends up being a very small distance. I did the math. I think it's 226 amos or something like that, or 266.
It's equivalent to 2,000 amos, a distance roughly equal to 3,000 or 4,000 feet.
A mil is.
No, that's what a mil is, correct. Sorry. But this is one small portion of that.
What that is.
Yeah, so the Rabbi Resnick said it was 2/15. That's what he said.
1/7 is 2/15.
Yeah.
1/7 1/2, that's about 13%.
So 13% of 2,000 is 260, which was the number that I calculated based on Rabbi Resnick. So that means approximately 300-400 feet. Let's call it a football field's distance, right? Football is 100 yards. You're looking, when you see something within that distance, you're chayev. And if you have eagle, that's big. If you have an eagle eye and you can see further than that, you're putter, even if you have an eagle eye. What if you can only see it with binoculars? This is a Shilin postgame about bugs in water. This came up when I was in YU. There was a lot of bugs in the water at the time. So guys had actually placed like cheesecloth over the faucets outside of the Beis Medrash, and they would run the water so that the Rabbanim could check to see how much water would flow and then how many bugs. But Rav Shechter, Rav Willig were involved. They took out the cheesecloth. There were mamish pasha bugs on them, straight up bugs. Those were visible bugs. But then there's a lot of things that are not visible to us. So the poskim write, Rabbi Zev left when he was here. He spoke about that there's emes lamito, and then there's emes, there's relative emes. He says emes lamito is that there's bugs, there's microorganisms in the air floating around. You take a deep breath, you're ingesting microorganisms all the time. There's fungi, there's stuff in there. They're not kosher. But emes on a relative scale, that halacha says, if you can't see it, then it's not a bug. So that was what he was discussing. But we do these things all the time. And halacha lemaisa, if something is invisible, and there are plenty of things that are invisible that are microorganisms, right? A lot of them we can't see. Halacha l'maisa, they are still not considered to be food. They're not considered to be asr, as high in protein as they may be. Says the Gemara, let's just finish up this idea. So what we said, ve'ezohi re'iya sheyesh ba'pigia, shi'aru chachamim echa mishav omechza b'mil, v'zehu ris. This is what's called a ris in halacha, again, about 260 samad amos. And Tana, the din is like this. Once you see this item, umedada imo ad parsa, after you load up an animal, again, we're going back to where we were before, right? So let's say I have to help you with it. After I load up your animal, I have to walk with you ad parsa. That's a long walk. I believe a parsa is 4 mil, no?
Yeah.
That's a long walk. That's about 4 miles. That's like from here to Skokie. Let's hope the weather is nice. That's a long walk. I'm a rabbi barber, chana v'notel schar. But you're allowed to take money for that walk. Very good. That brings us to the next Mishnah. This Mishnah is one of the most famous lines in it ever, which is, if one has to redeem their father or their Rebbe, they redeem their Rebbe. Please excuse me. I didn't write the Mishnah. I still love you. The Mishnah writes as follows. Avedasov avedas aviv. Let's say that I have a lost item. And you have a lost item. You, my father, have a lost item. Avedasa kodemus. I only can get one of them. The halacha is I get my own. That's what's halachically not required, but halachically allowed. We'll see soon what the parameters are. Avedasa of avedas rabo shelo kodem. If it's me or my rebbe, I'm still allowed to take mine over his. Avedasa avedas aviv avedas rabo. Let's say I'm trying to help either my father or my rebbe. Shel rabo kodemes, your Rebbe comes first, and this is the famous line, first of the long lines, lamed gimel lamed aleph, a third of the way down, she'aviv hevi olam hazeh, A father brings his child into this world. The rabo shelimdu chachma doesn't say Torah. We have to figure out what this means. Chachma usually is like a Kabbalistic-y kind of word in some of the literatures. We have to see what this means. The Mishnah, the Gemara won't say that, but that's often used. The rabo shelimdu chachma mevi lachay olam haba. So because this world, as the Mishnah Perkei Avos says, is only a prose door, it's only the pathway to the ballroom. So therefore, Lemaisa, if I have the option to either save my father's lost item or my Rebbe's, I'm supposed to save my Rebbe's. V'im aviv chacham, if your father is knowledgeable, if he's a Talmud chacham, shel aviv kodemes, then your father checks off two boxes of being both your father who brought you into Olam Hazeh and your Rebbe who brought you to Olam Haba. So therefore, the Gemara says that then your father would check off both boxes. If my father and my Rebbe were carrying something, maniach es shel rabo, I first help my Rebbe to unload what he's carrying. Va'achar kach maniach es shel aviv, then I help my father. This feels very difficult as a child. Just it doesn't feel right, because I feel like my Rebbe would say to me, go help your father, which by the way probably is exactly what would happen. But I'm just saying, like, it just feels difficult to me, because it's in the Ten Commandments, we have Kabedes Avicha Ve'asimecha, and we don't have Kabedes Rabcha. We don't have it like that. So I would have thought, but it's not that way. What?
What's the pasuk? Yes, Hashem Elokecha
Tiro. Right. And so according to Rabbi Akiva, it's Dorshin Essen Shabbat Torah.
Yeah.
Right. Who is the other person who gave up all the Essen? Reb Shimon.
Master Poland?
No.
There's
two names. There's a question how to pronounce his name. Oh.
But his first name was Shimon, no?
Yes.
He threw it all out. Okay. Next part of the Mishnah. Haya avi v'rabo b'vesa shevi. Trust me, I have a lot more to be disappointed about. So let's say a father is in prison and a rub is in prison.
Shimon
ha'am suni.
Yeah. Did I just say
that? So says the Gemara. So let's say my father and my Rebbe are in jail. I have to, in order, first bail out my Rebbe, followed by my father. And similar din, if my father is wise in Torah, then we flip-flop. Says the Gemara, where do we know this idea from? That I'm allowed to take something in the first cases of the Mishnah, where whether it's my father or my Rebbe, if it's my item or my father's, or my item or my Rebbe's, that I'm allowed to keep it. We saw this drush already. When you have a lost item, yours comes first. However, anyone who lives their life this way, it will end up this way. Namely, you're better off sacrificing and losing your own item sometimes. Sometimes Rashi says you should go lift the Mishura Sadin. Rashi says that we don't always keep this. This is me'ikr hadin, that you're allowed to keep your own item. But you can be mevater. If I had to choose between my item and my father's item, you're right that medina, it's mutter for me to save mine. But it might be more socially and emotionally appropriate to save my father's. At the two dots, seven lines into the wide lines, two-thirds of the way down. Hayavi v'rabo nosin masoi, but if they're both carrying something, we said that I have to help my Rebbe unburden before I help my father. Tanu Rabban, and the rabbis taught us in a brisa. Rabo she'amru, when we speak about a rav as it relates to this case, how do we define a rav? Right? So says the Gemara, rabo she'limdo chachma. We said that it's someone who teaches wisdom. Velo rabo she'limdo mikra u'mishna. Ouch. Divrei Reb Meir. It's not a Rebbe who only, quote unquote, teaches mikra u'mishna. So chachma over here is actually a reference to Gemara. Take a look at Rashi, 10 lines down, Dibur Hamaskel Shalamdo Chachma, Svaras Ta'ame HaMishnah, Ulahavin, Shalo Yusosros Zoes Zo, V'Ta'ame Iser V'Heter, V'Achiyu V'Hapater, V'Hu Nikra Gemara. So when we say Chachma, in this case, this Chachma is not of a Kabbalistic nature. This, what?
I'm still saying.
I don't actually solve any problems for us. What?
Worse.
No, worse. No, but I didn't. This is not me. I'm just reading it. It's not. No, I didn't put this together. I would actually argue, even halachically, that I'm being serious now, not even just like the self-deprecating part, is that if you have a Rebbe who's doing that with Rishonim, where they're trying to put two Rishonim together, that is more mistaber to me. This is just translating what I'm doing. I'm not minimizing it, it's great, but I'm just saying it's not what the Gemara means here. It's like you're Oker Harem a little bit, where you're able to solve problems. Anyways, the Gemara continues in this brisa. The first answer was Reb Meir, that is talking about Gemara. Reb Yehuda Omer, Kol Sherov Chochmaso Himenu. This is a Rebbe, what we refer to in halachic terms as a Rebbe Muvhak. My Rebbe, Reb David Miller, would for sure be my Rebbe Muvhak as it relates to halacha. I learned more halacha in the 3 years I was with him than in any other 3 years, and he was the Rebbe for most of it. So he's the one who taught me Kol Sherov Chochmaso Himenu. I know most of what I know from him. Reb Yossi Omer, he's the biggest Mekel, or possibly machmer, depending on how you look at it. Anyone who teaches you even one Mishnah, then that person is a rab. I'm going to turn the tables on you, bro. I'm going to stand up for you now, because you've definitely clarified a Mishnah or two over the years. I don't even want to hear your argument. Amar Rabba, says the Gemara, Kegon Rav Sechora, De'azbaran Zuam Alisteron. Rav Sechora, who explained a very difficult type of kli called the listeron, Zuam Alisteron in Maseches Kelim. And Shmuel Karamane, he used to tear his clothing when a person would die. Alei hahud mirabanan, de'azbarei echad yored la'amas ha'shechi ve'echad poseach kevan. So this was actually something from Maseches Tamid. There was a din in Maseches Tamid about a special way to open the door. You'd stick your arm through up to your beis ha'shechi, up to your armpit, and then you could unlock from the inside, whatever the case may be. So Shmuel said that the person who taught him that Torah, when that person died, he would tear his begadim. This comes up halacha lemaisa about tearing begadim when a gadol hador dies. It is appropriate that when an accepted gadol hador dies, that one should tear kriya. Where was I when this happened? Who died? I'm trying to remember who it was where we all tore kriya. No, it was after them. No, I can't remember who it was, but this came up when we were in Shir. Anyways, that's what it says in the postgame. Amar Ula, Talmidei Chachamim Shebebavel. In Bavel, they had a very high respect for one another. Well, we'll soon see not everybody did, but these people did. Omdin Zem Ibnei Zeh V'Koren Zeh Al Zeh. They were friends. They were colleagues. They were in the base medrash together, but they would tear kriya on each other's deaths, which means that they were significant Talmidei Chachamim. Well, the Inyan Aveda V'Makom Aviv Ein Chozrin Ela L'Rabo Muvhak. When we are discussing an Aveda and we're talking about a father versus a Rebbe, we're only talking about Rabo Muvhak. We're only talking about a high-level Rebbe. And then the Gemara tells a question that took place in Bavel where things didn't end so well. Says the Gemara, 3/4 of the way down, 12 lines from the bottom, Kaboy Minei Rav Chizda Mei Rav Huna. Talmid Vitzarech Lo Rabo Mai. Let's say, says Rav Chizda to Rav Huna, he says, let's say I have a Talmud, but I need the Talmud because he knows some things. That's one of the pshatim according to Vitzarech Le Rabo, because the Talmud learned in many places. Another pshat, the Rabbeinu Chananel writes this. The Rabbeinu Chananel writes that if you have a Talmud who's an Ilui, he's smarter than you are, so then that also is someone you might keep around. So says the Gemara, Talmud, Vitzarech lo l'rabo mai, what is the din as it relates to these applications in our Mishnah? And Omar Le, Rav Huna, said, wrote back, Chizda Chizna, he took it personally. When Rav Chizda asked this question to Rav Huna was insulted by the question. He says, Chizda, Chizda, lo tzrich nalach, I don't need you. A tzrichas li. You need me, says the Gemara. Adar boin shnin ikbida hadade. For 40 years, they were not friends because of this one comment. They didn't even talk to each other. And then when they finally came to terms that they had both made mistakes, Yasiv Rav Chizda Arboin Ta'anesa, he fasted for 40 years, Mishum Dechalash Daite de Rav Huna, because he left a negative feeling of Chalisha Sadas by Rav Huna, because Rav Huna misunderstood what Rav Chizda meant. Rav Chizda was asking in a vacuum. Rav Huna thought he was asking contextually about him. So he fasted for 40 years. Yasiv Rav Huna Arboin Ta'anesa, he fasted for 40 Ta'anesim as well. Doesn't say, they didn't fast for 40 years, 40 fasts. Mishum dechashde l'Rav Chizda, because he assumed negatively about Rav Chizda, that Rav Chizda had spoken about him, and really that wasn't the case. Itmar, the Gemara says, Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef Amar Rav Yochanan halacha k'Rav Yehuda. In regards to how we define a Rav, so Shita number one in the name of Rav Yochanan was that we hold like Rav Yehuda, that kol shero chochmaso hemen, which is the Rebbe Muvhak definition that I shared earlier. Rav Acha bar Rav Yehuna Amar Rav Sheshes halacha k'Rav Yosi, that we're a big mekel, that anyone who's clarified even one Mishnah, zehu rabo. I have children who've clarified Mishnahs for me. I've had talmidim and students and people in this room who are my friends. So then halacha l'maisa, everyone becomes a Rav then there's no hierarchy anymore, because I've learned from everyone here. So like, how do you, we're all equals. It says the Gemara, Umi Amar Rav Yochanan Hachi. Did Rav Yochanan really say that we follow the din of Rabbi Yehuda, that Kol Shirov Chochmaso Himenu, that we define a Rebbe as one where most of the wisdom comes from? The Amar Rav Yochanan Halacha Kistam Mishnah. We know that Rav Yochanan is a fan and holds of Halacha Lamaisa Stam Mishnayos V'tnan. And we have a Mishnah, Rabo Shalamdo Chachma. Oh, this is Gemara. That was what we just said above, not Rov Chochmaso. Says the Gemara, don't worry, my Chachma, Rov Chochmaso. A little bit of a taich, a little bit of an easy out. Tanu Rabbanan, let's discuss the different things that we learn. This Gemara is very important for people like us who spend a lot of time learning Gemara. Ha'oskim b'mikra, mida ve'ein mida. It's good, and it's also not good. B'mishnah, if you're learning Mishnayos, mida, it's good, but and v'notlin al schar, and you get a lot of schar for it. Gemara, ein lecha mida gdola mizu. There's nothing better than learning Gemara. And then, out of both sides of his mouth, the Gemara then says, "Ulolam have ratz la mishnah yoser migmara." These two lines do not fit with one another. One line said you should always learn Gemara; there's nothing better. The other said you should run to Mishnayos more than you run to the Gemara. So which one's better, Mishnah or Gemara? Says the Gemara, "Hagufa kasha." This actually is a stira. Amrit the Gemara ein la chamida gedola mizu. First, you say that there's nothing better than Gemara. And then, last line, Alamed Gimel, Alamed Aleph, Hadar, Amr, Sulu Olam, Havei Ras, the Mishnah, Yosir, Mina, Gemara. And then you said to learn Mishnayos. Some Rabbi Yochanan, you need to know what's going on historically. We'll be stopping at the Perek, and then we'll pick up again tomorrow. But we're at the very top line of Alamed Gimel, Alamed Beis. And at this time in history, initially, when Rabbi Yehuda Anasi put together all the Mishnayos, what was primarily learned in the Batei Medrash was the Mishnayos. In the early Amoraim, they already came and they taiched and they explained and they had their memras. So then people stopped learning Mishnayos and they started only learning Gemara. But really, you need both. If you only learn Mishnayos, you can't paskin anything. If you only learn Gemara, you don't have the basics. You're missing your primary sources. You're missing your primary literature of the Mishnah. It says the Gemara, Bimei Rebbe Nishnes Mishnah Zu. This Mishnah that speaks out of both sides of its mouth, where it says that Gemara is super important, but everyone should learn Mishnayos, Shavko Kula Alma Masnes and Va'az Lubasar Gemara. People stopped learning Mishnah because the Gemara was more complicated, a little bit more challenging, and they weren't memorizing their Mishnayos anymore. So then, Hadar Dorash Lehu, Ulolam Havei Ras LeMishnah, Yosir Mina Gemara. So then, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was saying, guys, you're making an error. You always have to have your basics down. Ben Chamisha LeMikra, or whatever. Whatever the Mishnah says, we have to learn in order, and you can't skip over a Mishnayos. If you learn a Gemara that has a clear psak, but you haven't learned the Mishnah, you can't paskin on that. You need to have a breadth of knowledge. It all has to be in front of you. That's why the Gemara says, now, my darish, where do we see these drashos? Kididarish Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Loi. My dechsiv, hu gal la'amei pisham al beis Yaakov chatosam. What does this mean? Hu gal la'amei pisham. Eiv l'tamid chachamim. There's a higher level of responsibility. That's a pesha, which is an intentional sin. Sheshigagos nasi lahem kizdonos. That by talmid chachamim, when you learn, if you make a shigaga, if you make an accidental comment, that's as though you did a zadon. It's as though you did it on purpose. By Ame Ha'aretz, who are not holding, so by them, because they're not holding, there's a donos or nasalem kishkagos. So we have more of an achrayas as B'nai Torah because we know more. That's why where this principle comes from, a mutav shiushogigin ve'altu mezidin. Sometimes in halacha, we have this by Eruv on Shabbos when it falls. In other case scenarios, we don't always share, you know, what the halacha is. If you see someone on an airplane and they're a Jew and you say to them, by the way, you're eating treif, that's not the way to do things. You just made it worse for them if they know what the word treif means, because now they know, befem male, you just dropped it on them that they're violating the Torah. That's not the way we do things. The Hainu Ditznan, we have a Mishnah just like this, 10 lines down. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Avizahir B'Talmud, Sheshigigas Talmud Ola Zadon. The Mishnah says the same thing. This is a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. And as well, another set of drashos, and with this set of drashos, we'll close out for the day, ending the perek. Darsh Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi. Mai Dechsiv Shimu Dvar Hashem HaCharedim El Dvaro. The word Charedim is a reference to Elu Talmidei Chachamim. These are people who learn regularly, and they're chared al dvar Hashem. They tremble before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is, of course, where the word charedim comes from, obviously. But it doesn't mean that we aren't all Haredi. If a person is Chared L'Dvar Hashem, then they're doing right. Haredi is a social bucket, but it's also, more importantly, a way to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And as Talmidei Chachamim, we should be trembling before a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that we should make sure that we're keeping halacha properly. And what does the pasuk mean when it says Amru Acheichem Elu Baalei Mikra? Those are people who learn Mikra. What are Soneichem, the people who we hate? Elu Baalei Mishnah. What's the hatred? The hatred is that if you try to paskin from a Mishnah, you'll make huge errors. I shared this with you many times. I have that friend who tried to keep Hilchos Nida from the Gemara alone without going into poskim. He's for sure Chayiv Karis, many times over, Pasha. His wife is for sure Anida, and he thinks she's Tahora. No Shaila about it. And Mini Deichem, from those who are like Nidos, Elu Ame Haaretz, and says the Gemara, these people who aren't so stark, Shema Tomar, Pasak Svar Mubatel Sikuya, maybe they have no logic to them and they have no chance. Maybe they, when Mashiach comes, they won't be saved. So says the Gemara, Talmud Lomar, Benir Basim Chasram, they will all be happy. Shema Tomar, that when it says that they'll be happy, that's be Yisrael Yevoshu, that it's true, Shema Tomar, Yisrael Yevoshu, that even Yisraelim will have some degree of busha. Talmud Omar, Behem Yevoshu, Ovde Kochavim Yevoshu, Yisrael Yismichu. Hadran Alach Elu Metzias, Baruch Hashem, we finished the second parak of Elu Metzias. Yiratzon, we should come back to this day in 7.5 years. We'll stop right here. Wishing you all a beautiful night. Sure.